with Ashok Gulati, a well-known agri reformer, expert, former chief of the Commission of Agricultural Cost and Prices, and currently the Infosys chair at ICRIA. Mr. Gulati, welcome to the print.
Thank you for having me.
So we're still in the middle of this lockdown. It's been 7 weeks, and therefore we're conducting this interview over Zoom. But my first question to you is about Nirmala Sitharaman's expansion of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's package, and some people are calling it Jai Kisan. It seems quite stupendous in the design of the package, but what do you make of it? Your first comments.
Well, my first reaction is kudos. People have been saying this for years. In fact, decades I've been writing on this. So it's the political courage. If they are ready to bite the bullet, it's great beginning. Particularly the last 3 points in the 11-point agenda that FM announced.
Yeah.
The legal framework. Mm-hmm. I think that has a potential to unleash a major private sector interest and investments into this, which will benefit both the farmers and the consumers.
So explain to me, if you were to say in this 11-point program that she enunciated less than 24 hours ago or about 24 hours ago, what would be the 3 main things that stand out for you?
You know, to me, the last 3 points are more important than the first 8 points. First 8 points are, you know, some allocation things and this program, that program. You know, NABARD will be raising 1 lakh crores for agri infrastructure fund, whether it is Marshall Plan or something else. But the legal framework, the Essential Commodities Act, the APMC Act, and the third one in which they have said they will facilitate, but actually it is contract farming. Mm-hmm. All these 3 steps are trying to get the markets function right. The problem of the farmer today is not as much in the production side as it is in the marketing system. The marketing system is suffocating and choking the farmer and taking away undue share in the intermediation process. I think that is what they have tried to fix. And this has implications, something, although I have to yet see the fine print of it and how it comes out.
Yeah.
But if the spirit is followed right through into the act, then I would say this is like 1991 of the economic reforms. So it's a watershed moment for agriculture sector to get the markets right.
Those are big words, Mr. Gulati. Watershed moment, a continuation of the Narasimha Rao Manmohan Singh Congress government, which in 1991, 30 long years ago, 29 years ago, unleashed, if you like, the animal spirits in the economy. So are you saying that the Modi government is now doing this for agriculture?
I would say if the fine print comes out exactly on the lines and the spirit in which they have said, without any footnotes here and there, because Babus are very smart in putting in footnotes, and whenever their price goes up a little bit, immediately clamp down all controls. Because remember, the Inspector Raj actually flourished, and there was a massive rent seeking during those times. Same thing, Dr. Manmohan Singh and Narasimha Rao cleaned up for the industry quite a bit in 91. And also on the tariff fronts, the trade policy changes that were done along with the readjustment of the exchange rate. But they did not touch the agriculture side.
Why not?
Because they always thought like APMG is a state subject.
Hmm.
Tell me, who brought the Green Revolution in this country? Was it a state? Who brought the Milk Revolution in this country? Was it a state? So if you don't want to do it, put the burden on states. Oh, it's a state subject, so we can't do it.
Right.
Now, I thought in Modi 1.0, Modiji had a great control over at least 15, 16 states or more than that.
Right.
So he could have done the reforms right away. And by now, he would have been harvesting the fruits of that reform in agriculture. But कहते हैं देर सही दुरुस्त सही better late than never.
So, this crisis that the coronavirus outbreak has unleashed.
Yeah.
So the Modi government is invoking this crisis, or it's leveraging this crisis.
That's right.
To make these reforms in agriculture. But explain what the Essential Commodities Act amendment really means.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me bring in something. When the GST reform was being done for years, almost a decade, there was a lot of consultation with the states and so on and so forth. And still, when you went to implementation, it is not done in a very fine-tuning manner, and there are hiccups. Right. But nobody can say that moving towards GST is a wrong step, right? So similar thing is this. At present, they have announced, we don't know how the fine print will come out. So we only know the direction in which they have promised to walk.
Now, what is the Essential Commodities Act? And we also don't know whether they've talked to the states. We don't know whether they have talked to the states or not.
You know, Essential Commodities Act is a central thing. It has to be passed in the parliament and then implemented by the states. APMC is a little different story.
Okay.
Because that's where the states need to be consulted. But I think crisis can be turned into an opportunity. And that's what, if you bring out, that's what they have promised to bring out a central law. Because farmer must have multiple choices to sell. APMC markets have become very monopsonistic, rent-seeking, very non-transparent there. And therefore, I think that monopoly or monopsonistic power of the APMC markets need to face a competition from others. Direct buying from the farmers. If I'm a processor, you know, I should have direct access to the farmer. Why I need to go to the mandi? I can create my own supply line where I don't pay market fee, RTA commission and all the cess on that and so on and so forth. So farmer can gain. Good quality. I'm giving a promise that I will, you know, buy from you. So these three steps, essential commodities, we can go one by one.
Yeah, let's go one by one. What does the amendment to the Essential Commodities Act mean?
You know, Essential Commodity Act had two major powers.
Yeah.
One was that they can impose stocking limits on anybody at any point of time. Uh-huh. Right? So if the onion price goes up from 40 to 80, and everybody is, you know, you declare sort of no trader can hold stocks more than 50 quintals or whatever.
Right.
And or pulses time and again, the moment prices went up, you start beating the private trader, the processors, others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is your failure to read what the market intelligence is. And you try all this, you failed on the trade policy, you don't import, not knowing that there will be a shortage, and you start beating the traders or the... As a result, nobody invests in storage.
Hmm.
Large storage facilities, private sector is away from it, because they don't know at what point you will impose a stocking limit. So if I create a storage for 1 million ton, but then you tell me I can't hold more than 500 quintals, then what happens to my storage facility, right?
So the government had the power to tell you how much stock you can keep.
That's right. And but also,
we do have huge silos in the country that stock wheat.
And most of those silos are for FCI, built by private sector, given on rent to FCI, that, okay, if you want to use it, use it. If they are empty, still give me the rent. So right. That's not market economy.
No.
And what you need to understand is, you know, this Essential Commodities actually has its roots in 1943. There was Defense of India Rules.
Hmm.
It's the famine situation at that time, and we were towards the end of the Second World War,
right.
And Britishers brought this. Then we recoined it in 1955, called it Essential Commodities Act in 1955. And it is continuing since then. No, we are not in 1955 or 65. Country is not starving of food. In fact, there is a problem of excess production in several pockets of the country.
Hmm.
Now, production will come at a point of time, but you want to consume throughout the year, somebody has to store.
Yeah.
Right? So unless there is a storage facility, what happens when the farmer brings the produce in the market, and since big storage is not available, the prices collapse at the time of immediate harvest, post-harvest. So only government for one or two commodities, wheat and rice, even wheat and rice, they cannot make sure that MSP is applicable. Only in Punjab, Haryana, Madhya Pradesh. You look at right now, what is the price of wheat in Bihar? Between 1700 to 1850, whereas MSP is 1925. So a poor farmer, a richer farmer, better farmer in Punjab can get MSP because their government is functioning and they are giving MSP. Now, yes, you announce MSP for 23 commodities, you don't have the wherewithal to really procure every commodity, and government cannot do that and should not do that. Government, yes, cannot become a baniya shop. Remember this, number one. So we have to fix the markets. We have to get the markets functioning in a more efficient manner. And one of the components of that is the private sector has to be allowed enough stocking. And that will invite more of investments in the stocking facility. That means the post-harvest prices will not crash as they have been doing. The wastages, because of lack of proper storage facility, will be much less. And then if you are going directly buying from the farmers, all the mandi fee and cess and Artya commission actually can be shared between the buyer and the seller. So farmer can gain and even consumer can gain.
Hmm.
So I see this as a major step and a forward-looking step, which has the potential to unleash the so-called animal spirits of 1991.
Okay.
Now, fine print, beware of that.
Yeah.
I hear in some corridors that the bureaucrats and some of the insiders in government are thinking they will put a clause that if perishable prices go up by 100% or non-perishable go up by 50%, they will put the stocking limits again, re-impose.
Okay.
Now think about onion price. Today is about 20-22 rupees a kg.
Mm-hmm.
If that goes to 40 rupees, if you bring essential commodities act, then who is going to create storage facility? That will be stupidity.
Mm.
And this is what the political masters have to watch. That it should not lead to ke aloo ka price 10 se 20 rupees ho gaya. You remember in West Bengal what Mamata Didi had done? She did not allow the potatoes to go to Odisha.
Hmm.
And then Odisha fellow said, okay, if you are not allowing the potatoes to come to Odisha, we will not allow the fish to go to West Bengal. Are we dividing the country? What are we doing? And this was all under the Essential Commodities Act.
No, but let me just play devil's advocate for a second. Assuming that there is some thinking that this clause may be put back.
Yeah.
But perhaps, and I'm playing devil's advocate, obviously, you know, I don't know enough. But perhaps the thinking is that if you have excess, or if you don't have enough food or a particular product, then you must be able to conserve so that in times of scarcity, you can use that, right?
Price stabilization.
Sorry?
It's a price stabilization.
Yes.
So you have to even out the fluctuations by storage.
Right.
When there is a glut, store more, process more, keep it there. And when there is a deficit, this is what in milk they do. They convert the excess milk into,
powder.
S&P.
Yeah.
The milk powder.
Yeah.
And later on during summer, when the production goes down, they bring it back. That skim milk powder is mixed with the regular milk.
So this will push the government to create storage as well?
Not necessarily government. Government need not. It is the private sector.
It will push the private sector to work much more closely with the farmer or the producer to create storage facilities.
You know, it is the traders and processors. They are feeding us, not the government. Government can operate only with wheat and rice and Do you buy from the government? Are you starving? Who is feeding you?
Right.
The supply line that is there is already by the private sector for 90% of the agricultural commodities. It is the private sector. But the laws are such that they have distorted the value chain.
So what happens? So what happens to wheat and rice? Is that also going to come under this?
Let the wheat and rice, if they want to procure for PDS thing, let them keep procuring what they are doing. But alternative channels are also open. So if private sector says, I'm going to give you a better price, give me more, farmers should be ready to sell to the private sector.
Okay.
You know, farmers should have a choice to sell to anybody. But you cannot block the private sector or only give it to me because I'm the my boss. Now, that philosophy does not work.
So you're making it sound as if so far the farmer has been like a bandhua mazdoor.
Well, if not exactly there, but he did not have choices. So he is supposed to bring it to the mandi and the mandi is rigged.
The mandi is rigged.
I mean, you and me have all the freedom, but farmer doesn't have the freedom. So this is actually a fresh air of freedom to the farmer. And if the markets give him a better price, why not?
Sure.
And markets will give him a better price if somebody is ready to store, because production will come, you know, harvest will come in the market within 1 month, 2 months. And then throughout the year, somebody has to store to feed you and me.
Right. Okay. So the amendment of the Essential Commodities Act, in your view, is a masterstroke.
Is the APMC Act.
Right.
And they have said that farmer, if I am a buyer, I can buy. Actually, at present, if I go and buy directly from the farmer in some state, and that is the jurisdiction of a particular APMC market, then I'm doing some illegal activity. Right? So I can be put behind the bar. So you are not allowed to directly go to the farmer and buy from him. This APMC reform says that APMC markets will keep functioning as they are, but their jurisdiction is only the courtyard of the market. Those laws will apply only there. Now, all others, processors, exporters, organized retailers, they can go to farmers or farmer producer organizations and directly buy from them. So they can build their own supply lines and they can ask for a particular quality, they can offer a particular price. And secondly, in one stroke, in fact, 2 days back, FM said, one country, one ration card.
Yeah.
I think here, it is one license to buy, and that should apply all over India. I can go and buy from any farmer in India.
Right.
So this is a step to break the monopsonistic powers of APMC mandis. It's like, you know, old days that we had only either the Bharatiya Telephone Nigam and or Indian Airlines. Now you may get a service or you may wait for 2 years to get a telephone, you know, and still service can be poor. Why not give them choices? So you give 5 more airlines. So this is like 5 more other channels to sell for the farm. And that will help building more efficient value chains in the system. And that will benefit then both the farmer and the consumer, as well as bring quality food safety standards into the picture.
What about the smaller farmers, you know, the smaller marginal farmers who perhaps don't have the leverage to be able to take on, you know, big buyers? Is there a fear that you could depress prices?
Yes, very good question you asked. Because the bargaining power of a big processor, say ITC or Cargill or ADM, big companies, and if they are going and buying from one farmer, it will be unequal bargaining power. But normally they don't go to an individual farmer. They also want a scale. And to create a scale, you actually create an aggregation point. And that is through farmer producer organizations. You know, how did we did the milk revolution? Is Amul going to each farmer and asking for 2 liters of milk? No, we created aggregation points.
Right.
You know, we created milk cooperatives.
Yeah.
So everybody brings the produce and they're right there in the village.
Yeah.
Right? And price is given in advance that this is the price, this is the quality of the fat content is this, this is the price. So yani pani dal ke le aao. So you know, initially that happened.
So you would push farmers similarly to create cooperatives or
already Prime Minister has announced, in fact the last budget they had said that they are going to create 10,000 farmer producer organizations. Huh. This is additional. So we are moving in that direction and I feel that direction is the right direction. Now,
okay.
How much time it will take, how much we can expedite the process, how much organizational, you know, dairy revolution did not come in a day.
Overnight, yeah.
It took some time, but the direction was right. And today we are the largest producer of milk in the world.
So you said earlier that the APMC comes under the jurisdiction of the states.
State.
So what happens now?
Now, they have said that they will bring a central law.
I see.
To, in a way, overrule. And this is where, very interestingly, I mean, consultative process, if they had followed with the states, it would have gone on for years, like
right.
The GST. In fact, I'm recalled, and I must say that these are the words, more or less in inverted commas, from late Mr. Arun Jaitley, who was the finance minister, addressing the NABARD annual day. He said, if there is one area in which the biggest return can come to the economy after GST is the agriculture marketing area. This was Arun Jaitley's words 2 years back. So I'm happy that now Nirmala Sitharaman is taking
following in his footsteps.
Yeah. So I think
back to this consultative process between center and states. You're saying that under this, the center has the power to overrule the states on the APMC.
Now, this is what she has announced, that they will bring a central law. That means they will have to go to the parliament. Right? And states may say, oh, what are you doing? The problem is the mandi system, APMC system, if I may say so, there is a huge corruption. There is nexus between RTAs.
Explain that a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how it happens.
You know, you have to go to Washi Market in Mumbai or Azadpur Market, which is considered one of the biggest in Asia on fruits and vegetables.
Hmm.
And Washi Market, RTAs officially can take 8% commission. 8%.
Hmm.
It takes only 2 minutes to do the auction. Somebody is selling, somebody else is buying. Zero risk of the RTA. And it takes 8% commission officially. Unofficially, when I visited, he was taking from both the sides. He was making 14-15% in 2 minutes. So if he's selling 10 trucks and in 2 minutes he makes 10% or 12% or 14% out of this, my heavens, it's a loot going on in the system.
Right.
Now, who decides this commission? And who decides cess on that?
Hmm.
It is the market committee. And market committee is a closed, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back and make a lot of money. And then, of course, a part of that money goes for many other sundry things.
So this could be also a political nexus with the people in the farming sector.
You go and check who is the chairman of this market committee. And invariably, I would say in 50% of the mandis, you will find either a present MLA or the former MLA or the future MLA. And this is from where their whole political training starts.
Hmm.
So there is political funding also involved into all this. So I think it's a big step where you are breaking the monopoly of a very inefficient, is a nicer word, corrupt system is the right word.
Right.
I think that's a great step.
Right. So
the third one.
The third one
is very interesting. at present, what happens with our farmers is they look at what was the last season and what was the price normally they got. So if they got a good price for onions, everybody goes for onions.
Hmm.
And what happens when the harvest comes, there is a glut, much excess production, and prices go to 2 rupees, 4 rupees, 6 rupees a kg. The cost is 10 rupees. They start committing suicides or, you know, throwing onions on the roads and so on and so forth. Actually, it has to be forward-looking prices. Hmm. When they are sowing, they should know roughly what the price I'm likely to get after 3 months, 4 months when the harvest comes.
Hmm.
This last third point is exactly that. That as a private sector, if I'm going to the farmer, they are saying they will bring a legal framework to allow contract farming. They have not used the word contract farming, but actually it is contract farming.
Hmm.
So facilitating me as a buyer, I go to the farmer or farmer producer company and I say, I want, 5,000 tons of this commodity, and you 1,000 farmers or 500 farmers get together and give me, but this is the quality I want, and I'm ready to give you, your cost is 10 rupees, I'm ready to give you 15 rupees.
Hmm.
Right? Because I know if I buy at 15 rupees and I sell in Delhi at 22 rupees or 25 rupees, I can still make money. Now, that will be giving 50 rupees, 50% profit to the farmer on the cost of 10.
Hmm.
I'm talking onion because onion comes in news quite a bit, and onion costs are around 9 to 10 rupees a kg.
Hmm.
Right? But if you go today in Lasingam, they are selling at 6 rupees, 7 rupees. So they are in losses. So they're crying. Somebody should come and buy from us. In retail, when I'm buying at 20 rupees, 2 days back, I bought from Suffol.
Hmm.
20 rupees, that means farmer is getting one-third. In most of the fruits and vegetables, farmer gets one-third to one-fourth of what you and me are paying as consumers.
What happens to the rest?
This is what the cost of intermediation is, all the mandi system. And wastages, because you don't have proper storage facilities. And then the retailer's margin, even the retailer, you know, the telewala who comes on your roadside, his margin is 25%. So the farmer is at the receiving end in most of the years, in most of the commodities. Now, if we can assure that farmer gets at least 60% of what the consumer is paying, we have done a great, great job in augmenting farmers' incomes.
So last couple of questions, Mr. Gulati. The first is that if the Essential Commodities Act is being amended, or the APMC is being reformed, what does that do, A, to the Food Corporation of India, to FCI? Should it shut down now? Is it important at all? Does it have
No. You can't shut down FCI. But by opening other channels, in relative terms, the role of FCI, like when Air India was single, it had 100% clientele, right? But when you opened up the airline sector and five more airlines came in, then the share of others, it's the choice to the traveler.
So you reform FCI.
So you try to reform FCI if you can. I wish you good luck.
Why? What's the problem with FCI?
You know, the thing is, you have a public distribution system.
Yeah.
You are locked in that through National Food Security Act.
Right.
The problem is what you release from the top.
Hmm.
We worked it out under the Shanta Kumar panel report, which is on the website of FCI.
Yeah.
46% was the leakage of food, wheat and rice.
Hmm.
And nobody was ready to, you know, agree to that. And this was a table that was given. Literally derived, and then labor problems there. We got all the FCI and all the people sat down, all in agreement. After that, we thought Prime Minister Modi will do major reforms in food grain management system.
Mm.
But did not move beyond one part, and that was just putting the EPOS machines, POS machines which have, they think that they can plug the leakages through that. My data that I have collected and talked to many people in the villages and all that, still at least 30 to 35% of grain is being leaked out.
Or siphoned.
Despite all this, because in the villages, those machines don't work half the time. Janke gadbad kar dega, and then he will give it to somebody else. So when you say, okay, I'm giving more food grains to the poor, 5 kg or lelo, 10 kg or lelo, take it that 30% of that will never reach the beneficiaries. Minimum, 30%.
Right.
So only way you can plug leakages is give direct cash or give an option. If I'm poor and I'm entitled for some food subsidy, give me an option. Do I want cash
or the channa,
or do I want grains? Why don't you give that option? Same. So the biggest reform, if Prime Minister Modi wants to do, is the way he has given options now and choices to the farmer, give the choices to the consumer, poor consumer also. Do they want cash or do they want 5 kilo grain? Go out with cash, anda khana, anda khao, bread khani, bread khao, kuch aur khana. And then some activists come, oh, wo botal bhi jayega. There are studies on that also, 2%, 4% log misuse karenge. You give it in the name of the women. Empower her.
So out of 10, how many marks would you give the Modi government on this?
On what she announced, if that is implemented in true spirit, I would give 9 out of 10. But if there is a fine print, all these footnotes and all that, the bureaucrats, my friends, are very smart. They may bring it down from 9 to 7 or 6.
But still, that's very generous, Mr. Gulati. And thank you so much for explaining this story, these particular announcements by the finance minister and by the prime minister. And please continue to watch the YouTube channel of The Print, and please tell your family, your friends, and do subscribe to it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.